love you. How we adore you. Lord, if you would just even take us right now. Oh, we honor you tonight, Lord. We thank you so much for being able to be led right into your throne room, to worship you as you ought to be worshiped. We've laid it all out before you, Lord, with our hands lifted high. We honor you. We honor you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for your presence with us here tonight. And so, Father, just you do what you want to do in each of our lives and our heart tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. It's such a thrill to be with you tonight. I know, you get a group of women like this together and worship the Lord, and you just want to be able to do it all night, right? And there's nobody like Gia to lead us right into the throne room. Amen. Well, as you know, my name is Carol Wilde. My husband's Malcolm Wilde. We've been in Merritt Island for about 34 years, originally coming from England and coming to California, and that was my highlight of my life, just being in California, and my husband was on staff. He came first of all with Maranatha Music because he was in the music ministry in England, and so he came to be a pastor to the musicians. And it was just the joy, best years of my life, just being sitting under Kay. And what a wonderful thing that was last night, to be able to just share with all those ladies of what she meant to us. She was just such an inspiration to us. And as I thought about that, and they're all there, you know, talking about how she had been for, you know, them in their life, and I sat there thinking, and these ladies, the board, what they were and have meant to me in my life, every one of them in their own unique way have added and enriched my life, and I will be forever grateful for that. And I know this the same with you too, but I don't always get the opportunity to be able to see them all together and to say thank you for all that they've imparted in my life. You guys are blessed. And so I'm just so great. And when I think of them, they're all so unique, aren't they? They all bring something very special of what God has done in their life. And so I'm just so grateful. Knowing the theme of the retreat, I been asking the Lord what would I want to share. I did look up online, and like Sandy said right at the very beginning, I just couldn't believe how many one another's there were. Where do you go? And I wasn't even sure if I was supposed to travel from Florida to come to be with you. So I said to Sandy, I will definitely pray and ask the Lord to show me. My husband said immediately, you know, Carol, you should go. If there's an open door, you know how our husbands are. And so I prayed and asked the Lord, and it was a few days later. Well, one morning I woke up with, if you want to turn to it, Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. In what Ruth was sharing this morning about the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament. It's been the foundation for me for the New Testament. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, study to be in the Old Testament. But so turn to Malachi. This is the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 16. So I woke up one morning. Oh, and before I get into that, I did want, and I know I'll forget, I wanted to tell you the end of my cut-off shorts and braless tube top. You know, no one on staff ever said a word to me in those early days. And so I used to go over and take my son to school, drop him off, and I had to pick him up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was taking him for a dentist appointment. So I said to him, Joel, bye, I'll see you at 2 o'clock, okay? And he said, okay, Mom. And so I turned to walk away, and he went, Mom? And I said, yeah? He said, you won't come in your shorts, will you? And I went, no. And then I turned around going, what? And I'm walking home going, oh, that was it. That was the Lord speaking to me. And that's how he taught me. He's taught me a lot through my children. And I know those of you who've got children, he does. So Malachi 3:16, this is how I woke up. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And I'm going, oh, wow. There it is. There's the spoke to one another. That was what they had asked me. And I was like, okay, Lord. Okay, now I know that I am supposed to come and I'm supposed to be here. And one of my favorite topics to share on is on the fear of the Lord. And most of you, I'm sure, have heard teachings from your husband on the fear of the Lord. And I think it is one of the most amazingly convicting topic in Scripture. But I can honestly say, and I hope I'm always honest, that it has been the most instructive teaching in my walk with the Lord. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So first of all, we go back to Malachi and think about these words that Malachi said. They're encouraging words to us. But you know, it's on a very dark backdrop. God's people were living again in their land. Their temple had been rebuilt. There was peace in their land. But their fervor, their love for the Lord had begun to crumble. Corruption was rampant among God's people. And Malachi was living at a time when the people were starting to look at the prosperity of the wicked, and it was becoming a stumbling block to them. Many had shirked from their service to the Lord, even complaining about it. Some had given up serving him altogether. Things were so twisted in Israel that his people were saying, it's not really worth, you know, serving the Lord anymore, and started to celebrate those who did evil. And it says right before Malachi verse 16, in verse 13, if you turn to it, you have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's army that we're sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. It seems like everything was turned upside down. But it was in this very situation that Malachi had an encouraging word. And don't we live in an upside down world today? So, this word is especially encouraging to you and I. Oh, if we ever needed a holy reverence for the Lord, it is now. I believe with my whole heart that having such a love and a respect and a reverence for our Lord, it's the only way that you and I can navigate in our world today. Do you ever feel this too? Or am I the only one? Do you feel that we've lost our anchor, our footing? That we're drifting along with the course of this upside-down way of thinking in our world? It's time we refreshed ourselves, reminded one another of who we serve. Our God is called the Holy One, the only Holy One. There is no other God compared to him. You and I need to encourage one another to walk in the fear of the Lord. I share with you today from my own experience of walking with Jesus over 50 years now. And I can tell you, if I didn't have a fear of the Lord, a reverence for him, I would not be standing here with you today. I am absolutely positive of this. I'd been a Christian about 10 years when I came to America. My first women's retreat was at Twin Peaks, and the speaker shared on the fear of the Lord. I realized I had never heard a teaching on the fear of the Lord, of having a holy reverence for the Lord. And as she taught the retreat, I saw and I could, the things that she was saying, somehow I kept thinking back to the, wow, God's been weaving this whole concept of him being a holy God and having reverence for him. He'd already been weaving it into my life. And it had started right at the very start of my conversion. 53 years ago, a pastor was sharing the gospel with Malcolm and myself. And when he came to the gospel and the part where Jesus was on the cross, and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? This had always puzzled me. Growing up as a little girl, I'd always gone to a Methodist church. My sister Gloria and I used to go. Mom and Dad never went, ever. But my sister and I used to go. We used to love Sunday school. And we were taught the Bible, the stories of Jesus. And I could never understand it. And we went to this pastor, but I was going to say to him, okay, how come this happened? Because I just couldn't figure it out. I never got to even ask him the question. Because he said, because God, when Jesus hung on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This pastor said, that's when Jesus took your sin, Carol, on him. And God, because he is a holy God, he had to turn away. That floored me because I knew I was a sinner, but to think that Jesus had taken my sin upon him and his Father had to turn away because God is a holy God, right there and then, I just said, okay, what do I do? I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. That night in this pastor's office, we both gave our lives to the Lord together. So for me, right at the very beginning, I had this thought, this in my mind and in my heart, that God is a holy God and he hates sin. And that's why Jesus died. Not only did God save me, but I had to realize that God, he hates sin. That's why he had to turn away. So he hated sin. That was in my mind right from the get-go. So that retreat, hearing all these scriptures on the fear of the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, the need to walk in the fear of the Lord, is because God is a holy God. And it needs to be reverenced because he is a holy God and because he hates sin. it was like, whoa, this is incredible. And so, needless to say, after that retreat, when I went home and started reading God's word, every time I came across the fear of the Lord, I marked it, I starred it, I read it, I wrote it. And as I said before, it's been the most instructive teaching in my walk with the Lord. So you think, well, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, like I said, it's reverence, having that reverence, understanding that he is a holy God, and he is the Lord Almighty. And I love what Tozer says. He says, to know God is to fear him and to be stunned by the splendor of his presence. God is not there to just meet our needs. We are here to bow before his supremacy in an attitude of holy fear so that we will worship him with all our ways and our words. We need the fear of the Lord operating in our lives because without it, we have no compass. And whether you're familiar with the fear of the Lord or you're like I was many years ago, just learning about it, I want to share with you some of the ways and some of the scriptures I learned about the fear of the Lord. So what does the scriptures tell us about it? Well, in Proverbs 1:7, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, Psalm 111:10 says, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Notice the beginning, it says. That's where we start. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And how do we learn the fear of the Lord? Well, it tells us in Psalm 34:11, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I once heard Kay share about David was saying this, come you children. And she mentioned of all the skills that David had. He was a shepherd, he knew how to take care of sheep, he was a skilled musician, but the one thing that he wanted to teach his children was how to fear the Lord. That was the uppermost thing. So as we come to the Lord, he teaches us. He is faithful to teach us and show us. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth, it says, I hate. So there's the definition of the fear of the Lord. It's to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. In our world, as in the days of Malachi, evil is being proclaimed as good, is it not? Our world is so confused. Unless the fear of the Lord is working in our hearts and in our lives, we will not have the wisdom to make the right choices. Without the fear of the Lord, we will not have the knowledge of what pleases or displeases the Lord. Listen to what the longing of the Lord says to us today in Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. We have a wonderful example, as many of them in Scripture, of one who walked in this reverential fear of the Lord, and that's found in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 5. When Nehemiah had built the walls, and he was talking to those people that had been helping him, he says, but the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of the Lord. He wouldn't do what the others were doing. He wouldn't conform to their standards. Is there a New Testament equivalent to this fear of the Lord? I think so. when Paul was expressing the reasons for spending his life teaching others the things of God, he said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." I think the pressure of our world today is to conform to the worldly thinking and to compromise, to water down the gospel message. We heard it all this morning. I thought that was so incredible and so informative of what is happening right now in our world. They want a gospel. They teach a gospel. Many are teaching a gospel that does not offend. Well, that only happens in the church when people start to fear man more than fearing God. Notice the encouragement in Malachi. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard." In this upside-down world that's turned away from God, it is so important for us to speak to one another of him, to encourage each one to walk in the fear of the Lord and not to fall to the pressure of the world. We need to constantly remind one another that our God is a holy God who hates sin. We've all been through hard times, especially in these last few years, and we can begin to feel, you know, is it really worth it to serve the Lord? And we start questioning different things in our life just because of what we hear on social media. I am not on social media. You will never find me on it. I just, from the get-go, I never wanted to be on it. And I'm so thankful because I don't know anything. And you know what? That's okay by me. I have enough things on my plate with what I'm involved with. I don't even need to go there. Now, I do appreciate those who are on it and can share with us the things that are going on in our world. We need to know that, and I'm thankful for that. It's not that I'm down on it at all. It's not that. It's just that I just don't need it. I don't need to have it in my mind. Because when you start hearing all this stuff, you can't start to question God. You can't start to question your beliefs. And when, you know, if you are in that place where you are questioning the Lord and why you are serving him and is it even worth it, well, Malachi has the answer to that question in these verses, and it's for us today. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and talk to one another. Encourage one another. And as we come, he hears us. The Lord hears us when we talk about him. When we're talking to one another about what the Lord is doing in our lives, God hones in on our conversation. He wants to hear what we're saying. And so I want to encourage you, and I know that you've already been doing this with one another. It is so good when you meet up with someone that you haven't seen for a long, maybe a couple of years when you haven't been meeting, and you just kind of want to get that fellowship going and sharing what God's doing. But you know, there might be someone here that you don't, well, there obviously is people here that you don't know. Why don't you decide to take someone's name or a phone number or whatever and swap, maybe swap, we did this one year, take your name tag out and say, "I'll pray for you if you pray for me." And spend the whole year, put it up somewhere that you do. You pray for one another. I think that's one way of just encouraging each other. And maybe even if you put your phone number on and just said, you know, sometimes just call me and I'll whatever. That to me is talking to one another and sharing and encouraging one another and what God's doing in your life. You'll be able to pray for one another. But don't just stick with the same people that you already know. Get to know somebody. You know, I'm sure there are some pastors' wives in here today that are lonely and are probably looking for a friend. Oh, I should say, put your hand up, and maybe you could look at them and say, I'll be your friend. But let the Lord do that, okay? Let him do that. You know, it's only once a year. Where in our time do we get to have this opportunity to be with pastors' wives and women in ministry? We're each other's people. We go through the same things. We can share one another. We can't share some of these things with people who are in our congregation, because sometimes we just have to be very careful. But we can do it with you, with each other. And what better place than here? It's this time together here is priceless. And we only do it once a year, right? Once a year, so reach out and find other people to get to know so that you can encourage one another. I think it's even all the more important because of the days in which we live. Amen? So Malachi then, he says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, the Lord listened and heard. What a promise. The Lord listens and he heard them speaking to one another, sharing, ministering to one another. But it's to those who fear the Lord, who walk in reverence with him, those who are telling one another of what God's been doing in their lives, testifying of his goodness. Now, I know we've all experienced the goodness of the Lord, but even so, in this past year, sometimes we just have a sense of frustration. And if you've been like me, just sadness and just, I could relate to Habakkuk. Like never before, when it's like he was saying, how long, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? You know, and I've even heard myself say, oh, Maranatha. And I hadn't said that for years, you know, since I lived here. And I just had that longing, oh, come quickly, Lord, come now. And it's not always a bad thing to cry out to the Lord like Habakkuk. Moses did, Joshua did, David did. And God met each one and heard each one. Often he didn't change their situation or their circumstances, but he met them in their circumstances. And as I mentioned before, at the time the prophet Malachi wrote this, Israel was, they were back in their land. Things were going really good for them. But people were turning away from God, and that's always a danger, isn't it? And it just seemed like their world was turned upside down. Just like the prophet Isaiah said, evil is called good, and good is called evil. I mean, who would have thought that in today we are seeing this in our world today? It's just happening. Things that we once used to think were a sin are now being celebrated, flaunted even. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord heard them. They shared their love for the Lord and of the Lord, whenever they got the chance. And so I just love the encouragement that you receive when you come to these pastors' wives' retreat. You see the wisdom of the people around you, the maturity who've walked with the Lord for many, many years. And if you're struggling, if you're going through a situation, any one of these women that you've seen either on the platform or you know them, they would be willing to talk with you and share and encourage you in whatever it is that you're going through. I know for year after year, you often see these women and you think, oh, I would just love to sit down and share with them. Well, they would love for you to do that. So I encourage you to do that. And because as we gather together, as we support one another, we're being built up. And as we're doing this, God's listening. He hears us. And I love to even think about that. I love to really think that God hears the things that we are saying. What kind of conversation would you like the Lord to hear that you're having? I think of the many women who spoke into my life and spoke of the fear of the Lord from a life walked in the fear of the Lord. And I want to share with you some of those practical things so that you can glean the things that I gleaned from many of them. I was always, not always, but I was taught a lot to have a holy walk, to have a reverence for the Lord. I was also taught to live a transparent life. And I got that from Kay. That's what she did. Her life was so transparent. And that taught me to live a life of transparency before everyone. God sees everything that's going on in my life, so I might as well live a transparent life. And when you're doing that, you know, when something happens that you know that you've said something that's not right, someone will either point it out or the Holy Spirit will do it in your life. I once heard that we're only as holy as our relationship with our Lord is. And to walk, this was huge for me, to walk to please the Lord, to live a life that pleases the Lord. So then whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whatever you're saying, live to please the Lord. So if you want to please the Lord, then you have to be in his word. You have to know what pleases him, right? And it's to have that time in God's word. This was stressed over and over in my life. And I'm sure you've already had that in, and maybe you already do that yourself. I can remember Kay saying to us, if you don't have a quiet time with the Lord, you're not going to make it. Wow. Now that's something that should really wake you up. If you don't have a quiet time, alone time with the Lord, you will not make it. And we need to look to the Lord for our guidance and not to the people who are popular today, the popular authors, you know, to do women's Bible studies. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God and speak the Word of God into the lives of those that we are with in our churches, if you're involved in women's Bible study. Now, there are some wonderful people that have written some good books, but I have never done that. Kay taught us she would do the studies, like Kathy would, edit them, write them, and Kathy does lots and lots of studies from God's Word, and that's all I've ever done. and believe you me, there's more than enough to be in God's Word than, you know, to take a book. And there was one in particular that someone came to me and, well, she was very popular, but all her women would go on rabbit trails. When you're in the Word of God, we usually can stick pretty much to what God is saying. God has also taught me through women to learn to be thankful. Have an attitude of thankfulness always. To thank him every day. And I find myself sometimes just coming home, driving up my drive, and I look at my house and go, Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you for this car I'm driving. I mean, wow. I don't ever want to take that for granted. I have a car. I have a home. I have a good husband. I've got my health. Just being thankful all the time. And I've found that when you are like that, when you have that attitude of being thankful, there's no room for complaining. You don't want to complain because you're just thinking about the things that God has blessed you with. And so it's so important. And to make sure that you pray. You have that time where you're constantly praying, not just when you wake up in the morning, but to have practice the presence of the Lord always. He's here anyway, right? He's always with us. He'll never leave us, forsake us. So always remember that. And I remember Kay saying, just shoot up those arrow prayers all the time. You know, Lord, help. You know, when something comes in your mind, a person or a situation, just shoot up those arrow prayers. I remember someone coming up to me a number of years ago now, and they would say to me, "We pray for you and your husband every day." And I thought, "Oh, how sweet, thank you." And then I thought, do I pray for Mark every day? It was really challenging for me. So I determined that I was going to make sure there's nobody in my congregation going to pray more for my husband than I do. So I made sure that I pray for him every day. And so, I think it's challenging. We need to pray for our husbands. In the days in which we live, they need us to be praying for them. Sure, our congregations do. And I remember Kay, she would say, sometimes when she's lying in bed, she'd put her hand on Chuck and she would just pray for him while he was lying asleep. And I've done that many, many times too. So I'm just, those people who've spoken to my life, I just want to encourage you in it. And also, walking in the fear of the Lord, you will be a woman who holds confidences, right? Are there things someone has told you that you will take to the grave? You will never tell another soul. We should be women that have that reverence for the Lord, that you will not ever share things that were spoken to you in confidence. No lies. You won't tell lies. The Holy Spirit will convict you if you are a woman walking in the fear of the Lord. You will be convicted when you tell a lie. No secrets. You be open and transparent. No secret drinking. No secret smoking. If that's what you're doing, then you're already convicted. Because you're keeping it a secret, right? No secret shopping and hiding it under the bed. Yeah. Now then. Wow. You'd never do that, right? I remember a man coming to me, and he said to me, "Carol, I know you teach women. Would you teach them to never hide anything from their husbands? Because it's broken up my marriage." And I said, "Yes, I'll tell them that. Don't do that. Don't hide things." When you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you will live a transparent life before the Lord and before others. No lies, no deceit, because you love and reverence the Lord and you know he hates sin, so you won't want to do it. Someone else who spoke into my life, and I knew she was a woman who feared the Lord. Her name is Kathy Laurie. Many years ago, she was at one of our pastor's wives, and she was sharing on the death of her eldest son and how God had met her. And as she stood sharing with us how all the years of her pastor's wife, she had been putting God's word into her being, into her life, into her heart, into her mind, and she'd been walking it out, she'd been just storing them all up. She said when she needed his word and all that he had been showing her, she said it all came back and it all came out, and she could stand. She knew who her God was, and even though she was going through the darkest time in her life, her God was right there with her. And she was sharing this, and she was here, and I just sat there, and I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden I went, and I smell the fragrance of Christ. I have never smelled it before or since. That was the first time. and it shook me as she was speaking to us of what God had been and was in her life. The fragrance of Christ was, and I started to look around thinking, is anybody else smell that? It just took me back, that beautiful fragrance of Christ coming forth out of her life. I will never forget it. I've never, ever told her. You know, I just never had the opportunity to share that with her, but it was so beautiful. And so I think about our lives and the things that we share. Could we actually have that happen from our life? As we share with others, could we give off that fragrance of Christ? I think we can when we're walking in the fear of the Lord. And so no matter what happens in our world, she was in a devastating place, but God was right there with her. So no matter what happens in our world, and it is happening. I think sometimes I wake up in the morning, I go, I don't even know if I want to know what's happened in our world today. Do I really? I don't know. So for now, for us, here, in this upside down world, we must walk in reverence before our God like never before. Speaking to one another, sharing with one another, talking with one another of what and who our God is, and to not let our God down. Not our God, our God, you know, of who we are and what God is doing in our life. There are Christians all over our world laying down their lives. Did we ever think we would see such atrocities that we're seeing on our TVs that we've seen these past few months? You know, we may not have to take our stand like some are as Christians in other lands, but do we take our stand? Standing together, holding each other up, speaking of him when no one else will. If we will hold on to the fear of the Lord as our guide, as it tells us in Isaiah 36:16, it says, he will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And I'd like to share with you a little devotional by Anne Graham Lotz. I get Anne Graham Lotz's devotional, and I know many of you do on your phones, and I have Alistair Begg too. He does Spurgeon's morning and evening. They're the two I just really love. I've tried many others, but I loved what she had said. She says, God is looking for a few good men and women who are willing to go against the current popular opinion, to hold firm convictions in a world where anything goes, to speak the truth when it's not politically correct, to walk with God when everyone else is running away from him. God is looking for those who believe what God says is more important than what anyone else wants, that his will is more important than their own. God is looking for another Noah, another Meshach, another Shadrach, another Abednego. One person with God is not alone, but a majority. The fear of the Lord, the love of Christ, is what motivates us and enables us to live a holy life. Oh, how you and I need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our lives, reminding us of who our awesome God is. And I don't know if you've come with a heavy heart, a broken heart, an aching heart, a hard heart, whatever condition your heart is in, let's be courageous and open up our hearts and our lives before the Lord this evening, asking him to shine the light of his Holy Spirit upon us, to give him that place of reverence in our life, and to determine that we will leave this place with a determination that we are going to reverence him, that we are going to walk a transparent life, that we are going to make sure that we tell one another, teach others about what God is doing, who our God is in this crazy, crazy world. And you know what? The rest of that from Malachi, it says, and the Lord listened and he heard. And then it says, and so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. So every time, even tonight, he's been writing your name in his book. He has many books, but he's got a book of remembrance and he's writing our name down. So let's take this opportunity before June comes up and she's going to finish off. Let's just ask the Lord to help us to be open and honest before him, to allow the Holy Spirit access, okay, access, free access into our hearts and into our lives. Don't leave this place in the same condition you came. Let's leave this place with God doing a work in each one of us, myself included. I don't want to come here just to sit and have a wonderful time with. I want God to speak to me. Don't you? I want God to move in my heart and show himself to me. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, because you've been listening to us tonight. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is, Lord, to even consider. You hear us. You know our heart. You see each lady here and you see each heart condition. There is nothing hidden from you. And so, Lord, we just want to lay our hearts open before you to receive all that you have for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray.